Welcome back to the Who Do You Like Here podcast. Joey Sino. With me is the kid. Got a jam-packed episode today. Two guests.
Two for the price of one.
That's right. You normally only get one. Today you're getting two for one.
Normally you gotta pay double for that kind of action, Cotton.
Welcome back, everybody. Two great guests coming on the podcast this week. Obviously, we missed our podcast last week.
Yeah, we missed the Derby recap podcast. Yeah. Obviously.
Probably touch base a little bit on that.
Yeah.
But we did put a ticket out there.
Yep. Put a ticket out last week.
We'll cover that as well. But on the podcast this week, we have winning Oaks and Derby jockey. Brian Hernandez Jr. is going to join us for a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about both those races, a little bit about the upcoming Preakness, which is coming up this Saturday. And then we're going to bring on Still Will, handicap expert from Keeneland. Guy crushes Keeneland.
He does.
We're going to bring him on. We're going to cap the Elite Pick 5 at Pimlico for Saturday's action, ending with the Preakness. So really jammed up. Got a lot to cover here. How you doing, kid?
Good. Good. Yeah, not too bad.
How excited are you to talk to Brian?
Very excited. Not very often we get to, I mean, we talk to a lot of jockeys, but I mean, right off of the biggest win of the year, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting to have him come on and fit us in his schedule. I mean, I'm sure he's got a lot of interviews, and obviously they're setting their eyes on the Preakness. So for him to give us a little bit of time is pretty awesome. Pretty excited for it.
Yeah, it's got to be just a whirlwind of 2 weeks.
Yeah,
heading into the Preakness, right?
Yep.
Not that I'm not excited to talk to Will either.
No, I mean, I'm glad to have everybody on. I mean, this is an exciting one for us. Obviously, we didn't get to cover kind of what we thought of the Derby and the weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. Well, start with that.
Let's start with Friday. Friday, I was kicking myself in the Oaks because I talked myself off of the winning horse.
Your top pick.
Yeah, it was my top
pick. Was your top pick.
Was my top pick.
Until Oaks Day.
Until Oaks Day. Yeah. I was, you know, like I said, I was on Torpedo Anna. At the beginning, I was like, this horse looks legit. And then I really looked at the Mott horse and I was like, you know, this horse off the layoff was very competitive. I also listened to what other people had to say. And, you know, I was on the boat with the Iceman, with Elio. Everybody he asked, who are you on? He said, Torpedo Anna. Yeah. So I'm like, typically when that happens,
it's too good to be true.
Too good to be true. Yeah. And it ends up screwing you in the end. So I was like, all right, there might be something to that. Lo and behold, Torpedo Anna was much the best.
I'm going to take the L on that one for sure. I definitely thought IRAD was going to be more forward position. Thought the 13, the 14 were just going to be going at it down the stretch. And Brian just went to the front and said, see ya.
Yeah.
Take care. Take
speed,
it easy.
Speed held.
Yeah, and it kind of set the precedence for where we were going into the Derby, that I got really worried. Now, shift the focus to the Derby. Mm-hmm. I got really worried that I don't know if the surface is going to be enough to close that distance, because obviously Sierra Leone was my pick.
If it would have stayed muddy, I would have been on that thought train, too. You know, if it would have stayed like sloppy as it was on Friday, because it was like, I mean, slop on Friday. But then Friday lightened up a little bit, and it was just more like dirt, you know. Well, maybe it's still a little wet from the day before, but not as bad.
I have to ask Brian about the surface.
Yeah.
See what that change was for whatever. Because, it didn't look as sloppy or as muddy as it was, I guess, on Friday.
Yeah.
So it dried up quite a bit. But still, what an exciting race. Just noses apart for three positions. And forever young, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the Derby now?
Yeah, the Derby. It just... A horse that I there were some high expectations. I guess maybe there is something to some of these Japanese horses and winner of the UAE. That definitely was a good representation.
This is what I think for the UAE horses. This is probably the best UAE horse that we've seen. Right, undefeated coming into the race, has dominated every race. Obviously, I mean, take the race for what it is, and what happened, what transpired. the horse still didn't win the race, you know, but that's their best shot. Like, this is my opinion. And all the shots that they had, this is the best shot they had to win it.
Yeah,
they didn't win it. So it doesn't give me a whole lot of faith of other horses coming out of that race if this horse couldn't get it done either.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Agreed. Sierra Leone, that was my, like I said, my top pick. Definitely had everything riding on it. Doubles, tries, exactas.
Yeah.
To lose it in that fashion. Very questionable, I guess, stretch ride, but I mean, they were kind of banging the whole last eighth of a mile, I'd say. One going in, one going out. A lot of contact between Forever Young and Sierra Leone.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the race itself set up way different than I anticipated, kind of, right? I mean, the one thing I think we should, you know, tip our cap to is that, you know, Fierceness did not break super well, did not get out to the lead easy, just like we said it wasn't going to.
Right.
Also, the 17 hole, even though it broke out of the 16 hole, still reigns supreme. That's still happening.
the streak's alive. Yeah,
the streak still continues. but it's set up differently than I think, you know, maybe I thought it was going to. I mean, I knew there was going to be speed at the top. I didn't know who was going to be up there. And there was a couple different horses I didn't anticipate being up there.
Well, you knew Track Phantom, right? Regardless of what Aspas said, not going to the front, he was right there. Dornock never
fired. Dornock did not fire.
Never got out.
Broke like shit.
Yep. And that one hole now, regardless of the gate change, it has not really panned off for anybody that needs to be near the front. Nobody's
it's
really.
It's a tough hole to break out of in a 20 horse field.
Agree.
You know, it's like probably next to, you know, breaking from all the way on the outside. You know, it's like you need perfection.
You need to get out.
Yeah. And it doesn't happen very often.
So that threw a little bit of the pace projections off.
Just Steel, I thought, you know, like that was my top pick.
Shock to go to the front.
Makes sense, though, if you watch the race, like we talked about it, right? I mean, obviously, Just Steel was a horse that I thought was going to be stalking, typically does the entire time anyway. That's kind of its MO. And, you know, he went to the lead. And I think, like we discussed, you know, they probably were like, well, we're in the front and we can't choke him back.
Right.
You know, you might as well just see what you can do now. You know, so really a tough break for Keith Asmussen, just because obviously it's his first Derby, and obviously I think he had a loaded horse too, but
it would have been nice if he could have sat off the speed, but
the race just didn't transpire the way I think they wanted it to. I think maybe he could have even gotten a little bit eager, thinking that there was going to be more speed, so he had to be closer, and then next thing you know, he's like, oh shit, we're on the lead,
right? And at that point, what do? You go to plant C, and you try to do your best at the front and try to preserve and get out there, but they were moving.
Yeah. And then Sierra Leone coming down the stretch, obviously made the charge that everybody anticipated. I mean, that.
Yeah, you got your money's worth.
That was it right there. I mean, that was as perfect of a ride as I think Tyler could have given at that stage and at that point in the race. There was some bumping and jostling down the stretch. Potentially, if he would have won, I think we could have may have seen that horse come down.
Yeah, there was enough there on both sides to definitely, you should have taken a look at it regardless. But.
Yeah, which also is pretty interesting, right?
I mean, I had that too, so I don't want to talk about that. But you go back, it's always been like that with Sierra Leone. He's always lunged left.
Yeah.
When he starts getting on that right lead, he's just, his tendency is to go left.
He lugs in. He lugs in. And then Forever Young.
Different. Yeah.
Forever Young also comes out. Everybody's discrediting the fact because the stretch is where, you know, when they're halfway down the stretch, that's where the most banging happened. And obviously Sierra Leone pushed this horse kind of closer to the rail, right? Actually made more of a movement, right? More of an impact on the horse. But that horse came out initially.
Just as much.
So they definitely were bumping each other. I think Sierra Leone probably bumped more. But again, a horse that's logging in, you guys are bumping each other. The only thing that I thought was skeptical was Tyler with his arm. You know, that was something that everybody was looking at. But again, I don't know if there's anything really there. I don't think he was like pushing him or like, you know, doing anything malicious. I think it was like,
I think it was more safety is that he was just off balance at that. When that photo was taken, I think he was more, the horse was lunging. Obviously, they're going full strides down the stretch. If the stewards don't look at it, I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't matter.
I also don't want to take anything away from Mystic Dan because Mystic Dan ran the race that I was hoping that we'd see out of Just Steel. I mean, he sat perfect. I mean, if you want to talk about a perfect trip, look at what Brian Hernandez did with Mystic Dan. He knew exactly what horse he needed. He got right to the rail, saved all the ground, just like he did in previous races where he had success. And then came down the stretch and took the lead and, you know, got the nose down first. But I mean, a brilliant ride. you know, ultimately, I mean, the horse.
That's what Brian does.
Yeah.
Rail skimming. Charges through.
It was perfect. And, you know, again, I didn't see Mystic Dan as much. And I think a little bit of that was that last race at Oaklawn, which, you know, obviously we'll talk to Brian about. But,
yeah,
you know, that race, I was like, oh, finishing
Arkansas
third.
Derby.
Yeah. He finished third to Muth and Just Steel. But I like to get his thoughts on that, too, you know.
I'll say this. Yeah, absolutely. I'll say this, that you targeted the right race, I think, that you needed to look at. Which was, you know, you went with Just Steel, and I think that was the race that kind of gave you more of a confidence boost on where he could be if he sat the stalking trip. It was just two different trips. We'll never know if Just Steel were to sat off where that may have finished. But
maybe you'll see this weekend.
You actually might. They're going to be back up on Saturday. But nonetheless, absolutely great ride for Brian Hernandez. And winning both days, Oaks and Derby, trainer-jockey combination. Yep. Pretty magnificent, pretty epic.
Yeah, a huge congratulations. Obviously, we get to talk to him here in a couple minutes. But, I mean, yeah, I can't imagine. I know how excited I would be if I hit both races. Let me put it to you that way, as a betting, you know, person. Yeah. If I hit the Oaks and I hit the Derby, I can tell you that I'd be ecstatic. I would be freaking out, you know, buying dinners, buying drinks, you know.
Yeah.
So let alone riding both the winning horses has got to be some sort of feeling.
Yeah, we should really ask Kenny if you had the double, Oaks Derby double.
Yeah.
Kenny, you didn't have yourself on both? That's impossible.
A lot of trainers don't bet on themselves, obviously. I think it's a bad luck thing. You know, at least that's what I heard. A couple of them won't mess around with
it. They do it in the NBA all the time.
Well, I mean, allegedly.
And NFL. So, all right. Well, we're going to be able to talk to Brian here shortly and ask his input and congratulate him all the way.
Shout out to the syndicate on Friday for absolute heater worth of a day.
Crush Friday. I think they were back before the Derby on Saturday.
Yeah, but
it was planned though.
Yeah, when you get to a level of fame, you know, it's hard to enjoy the time because everybody wants pictures and time, you know, you can't really enjoy the moment for what it is. But yeah, I mean, Friday, that is the hottest I've ever seen a group of people bet. I mean, they were hitting races left and right.
Yeah, they were crushing.
Yeah, so when we have Elio, and we'll have to talk about that.
He'll be out for Belmont.
Yep.
He's going to be at the Belmont. Well, Saratoga.
Toga. Yep.
Everything's changed. Everything's just different this year. But we'll definitely have to talk to him about that when he comes back on. Not the best weekend on Derby weekend for me financially on the bets. And then last week, obviously, no podcast.
Yep.
Put the ticket out there. Hey, shocking. 4 or 5. I mean, what else did you expect for us?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not Keeneland, so I don't pay 4 or 5.
That's right.
But it would have been cool if it would have been, because, yeah, we would have been pretty good. But you cleaned up quite a bit last weekend.
I did
pretty well.
And I'm still kicking myself in the ass for that try in the first leg.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got cute.
Got cute.
Yeah.
Tried to key.
And, got cheeky.
It cost me. After that, balls at a wall.
Yeah.
So we definitely dominated after that. But yeah, you live and learn. I mean, 49 years in the business here, and still learning things.
Yeah, I mean, nonetheless, a heater of a weekend. You know, going up quite a bit of money over the weekend, and not only on horses, but pretty much everything. So just a good betting day for you in total. So
I just heat checking all over.
Yeah, yeah. When you're seeing it, you're seeing it.
Right,
you know.
Yeah. And I don't remember seeing it, cause I was having a lot of fun that day.
Inebriated.
Yeah. A little inebriated.
Yeah.
And you wake up the next day like, holy shit, that's what I played. It actually won.
Thank God you didn't do the opposite, right? Like you looked at it and you were winning a bunch of money. And then in the morning you looked and found you had like $7 left. And then you're like, what the hell happened? And you look at all the winners and then you look at the string of losers where you just don't remember.
Saturday was the day, and we're going to have a day again this Saturday. But,
yeah. Oh yeah. Big weekend.
Enough talking between you and me. I think it's time that we actually go ahead and bring on the talent that everybody wants to hear.
Yep, let's do it.
Our next guest has been a staple in horse racing here since 2003 with over 2,500 wins, over $130 million in earnings, most recently riding home Torpedo Anna in the Kentucky Oaks, and then winning the Kentucky Derby on Mystic Dan the very next day. So both for trainer Kenny McPeak, jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. Not very often we get Kentucky Derby winners to hang out with us for a little bit right after the Derby. So thank you very much for joining us.
Of course. No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. First and foremost, congratulations.
Yeah. Congrats. I mean,
that's an amazing feat, let alone winning both the Oaks and the Derby. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
Yeah, it was a pretty good weekend. You know, my wife and I, we were actually just talking about that. And she asked, she goes, has this sunk in yet of last weekend? I was like, no, not really. It's just kind of, we won in both Oaks and Derby last week. And then we just kind of went back on to our normal lives. We had grass to mow and stuff to do around the farm. So
quite the way to celebrate, right? Just get back into the
cutting the grass.
It's almost like it's you know, you've been there before. You know, it's like, yeah, it's another win under the belt.
No, I mean, it's definitely special, and we're very, very grateful for it. But at the same time, we still got to go back out there and show up and work more and get ready for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm not going to compare this to anything minor that I've done in my lifetime, but we've won a golf tournament like four times, and you really don't feel it till the next time you go to the tournament.
True.
So I think maybe it's going to hit you, obviously, but I think next year, I'm sure you'll get them out for the Derby. I think it'll be a little more, oh yeah, I did one of these before.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be, and especially here in the next few days when we head up to Baltimore, it'll probably, I'm guessing it'll be a little different scenario going in there with the Derby winner. So yeah, it'll be a little more pressured situation, but it'll be fun. We'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a big part, right? Enjoy it.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing for sure. Talk about that a little bit. So obviously, Torpedo Anna, Friday, big day, sloppy, muddy track, you know, talk a little bit about the trip and kind of what you and Kenny were thinking going into the race. I mean, I had to imagine you guys had some sort of tactic, and did it play out for you guys?
Yeah, you know, with Torpedo Anna on Friday, she had been doing so well all the way up until this race. I mean, her race in the fantasy at in Arkansas off the layoff was unbelievable for her to do what she did and draw away from those horses like she did. So Friday I had talked to Kenny about it. He goes, you know, there's no speed to your inside. So just go ahead and let her run away from there. And then I kept looking at the race, and I could never really figure out if there was any real true speed in there. I thought the only true speed was maybe Irad's Philly, Leslie's Rose, and then the Asmussen Philly. But they were so far on the outside. I was like, you know what? If I let my Philly run into the first turn and get some position, I'll probably be on the lead. And then that's what happened. You know, we were just she's such a dominant Philly that we were able to do what we did with her and draw away.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely impressive. I mean, I was watching that race and I was like, oh, is she going to run out of gas? And she like almost hit like another gear down the stretch, you know, just pulled away. So it's definitely seemed like it worked out to your guys' advantage.
Yeah. Keep the nose clean. Keep the goggles clean.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a testament to what a good filly she is, because she was able to go that fast early on. And she just kind of ran the rest of them off their feet, you know?
Yeah.
Eventually they got tired of chasing her, and I believe that's what happened.
Were you guys concerned with the surface being super muddy? Like, was that something that you guys kind of skeptical of how she was going to run, or were you guys pretty confident going in?
That's a good thing about having really good horses. You know, they're really good athletes and really good at their job. So you don't, with horses that are as good as these two, you don't really worry about the other variables, about stuff like that. You go in there, you know they're prepared, you know they're ready for their task, and you just let them go in there doing their job.
That should be an afterthought. Anyway, yeah, the horses are so capable of running those big races, you know, you just can't control the uncontrollable.
Everybody makes so many excuses for these horses. I mean, at the end of the day, if they're fast enough, they're gonna be fast enough. You just have to go out there and let them show their talent.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
Side question, you ride at Churchill quite a bit. So this year they put like 2,200 tons of sandy dirt into the surface. Is it any change from the years past? Because I've heard trainers talking about it and saying that I don't know if it holds better in water now or if it's any different than you've ridden previously.
It seems like it's holding a little more water into it, but it seems like it's in really good shape. Horses seem to be getting over it well, and it seems fair. I mean, you notice it. It's a little darker in color, but other than that, it seems the same surface that we've always had at Churchill. But at the same time, like you said, it's holding a little more moisture now, which is good for it, because like in the summertime, it'll get pretty dried up and get really, really deep. And it doesn't seem to be doing that just yet.
Okay.
Nice.
Good follow-up from our previous podcast, because we had mentioned it. So I figured might as well ask one of the experts out there. Before we get into the Derby, are you paying for any meals this week?
We paid for a few meals, of course.
That's shocking. You shouldn't have to pay for anything after this week.
Yeah, that's how did you guys celebrate on Friday? Obviously, you had to get back and ready on Saturday, but how did you celebrate the big win in the Oaks on Friday night?
Friday, you know, after we did the champagne toast up in the director's room and stuff like that, we went back to the jocks room and got ready. And then I'm fortunate enough to where I have both my sets of grandparents. They drive, they have these big RVs, and they drive them up Derby week, and they come spend Derby week on the farm with us.
Nice.
So the whole family, we all just got back together and we had dinner. They had dinner already cooked here at the house. So we all just celebrated as a family here for Oaks night. And we were done by 10:30. Yeah, about 10:30 that night, and just started to get ready for Derby Day the next day.
That's awesome. That's the way you celebrate a big win. Were you able to sleep the night before the Derby, though?
Yeah, you know what? I went to bed at about midnight. I was like, you know what? I got to go to sleep, because I knew I had to get up at 7 the next day. And we had Derby. We had all day Derby events going on. So I was like, oh, we got to get some sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, I always watch the Derby like 5 times. I keep rewinding it and watching it back and watching it back. When we did the podcast, I said that you had like 25,000 splinters in your left leg because you ride that rail all the time. Like, it's almost a signature move for you, is that rail skimming position where I just see you just come off in the stretch and just take over. On that trip in the Derby, were you content to stay inside, save a little ground with some of the other horses that were trying to do the same, but were you eyeballing that rail hole past Track Phantom the whole way when you were coming into the stretch?
Yeah, that was our game plan the whole way. You know, I kind of went into the Derby with a game plan of, we're just going to save all the ground possible. Knowing my horse, I knew my horse would be able to give me that kind of trip. So I had kind of joked with Kenny the whole, and told him, I said, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and leave the gate, and I'm going to close my right eye. I'm not even going to look to the right.
I love that.
So when we got around the first turn and I got inside West Saratoga, I was like, man, we're about to get the golden trip. And then it all worked out. It kind of worked out the way we envisioned it the whole way, which is rarely. That rarely happens. But it happened on the most important day of the year, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's why they race them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it was just a fantastic move. Like, it's just classic Brian Hernandez Jr. coming up the rail, and you seem to have all the momentum coming down the stretch. And at what point, you know, cause I know it was a close finish, but at what point did you feel like you had it right at the wire? You still held on. You figured you had it, or were you still questioning?
Yeah, I wasn't real sure. You know, we made that move in the middle of the turn just so we can get through there and get first run on the deep closers, mm-hmm. which I knew they were going to be coming at us, but I didn't expect them to be coming as hard as they did. So when we got to the 16th pole, I'm like, oh man, we're going to win the Kentucky Derby. And then when we hit the wire, and right past the wire, I looked over, I was like, oh shit, where are them horses coming from?
They weren't there a second ago.
No, yeah, I mean, 2 jumps ago, they weren't there. So at the wire, they were there all of a sudden. I'm like, shit, did I just lose the Derby? So galloped out to the outrider, and Jose Ortiz and Irad, they kept congratulating me from behind. I'm like, I don't know if I won yet. So we rode up to, Greg Blasey, the outrider, and I kept asking him, Greg, did I win? And the other outrider, Shane Hoodenpile, he kept going, yeah, you won. But then when we finally turned around and watched the slow-mo on the big screen, I was like, oh, what a relief.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, what a great feeling.
That last like 30 seconds after the gallop, you had to be like the longest 30 seconds of your life just waiting for the official or, you know, unofficial sign coming up with the, you know, the three and first.
Yeah, and even on the gallop out, like most of the time, we don't gallop out all the way to the outrider. And then after we hit the wire, I went ahead and I was like, come on, dude, we got to make it to the outrider just to see. And it was like, that was the longest 30 seconds I've ever felt in my life. Cause I was like, you don't know what to think. You're like, you're proud of the horse for running as well as he did, even if he'd have gotten beat. But at the same time, it's your chance to win the Kentucky Derby. So it's like, Jesus, what's going to just please have your nose down in front.
Yeah. I mean, that's
all you can hope for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're praying you got it down first.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't had a 3-horse photo in the Derby in what, 60 years
or something?
Yeah. Crazy? Yeah.
It was exciting. It was exciting to watch. Sure, it was more exciting to ride in it. So.
With that trip? Absolutely. Absolutely. It was also pretty cool. I watched an interview that you had on the backside, and you were kind of talking about, like, okay, we've got speed to the inside with door knock. You know, Sierra Leone to inside is going to be sitting off. You know, I'm hoping to work out, you know, a rail trip. And lo and behold, you called your shot. You know, you basically called your shot into the Derby. You know, ran that rail trip and got it done. So I thought that was pretty awesome too.
Yeah, you know, that was kind of, we were open about our game plan the whole way. Everybody kept saying Dornak was going to be going from the inside and everything else. But one of the things that Kenny did that was great was he went ahead and had us hand open Mystic Dan out the gate on Wednesday. Where it would sharpen him up and leave the gate really short. So when he left the gate and he outbroke Dornak, we just went ahead and took his spot right away, so we would have one less horse to try to get around.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice trainer insight to get the jump, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was just an all-around team effort to make it all work, and luckily the magic worked.
Yeah. Let's change focus here to the upcoming race here in the Preakness. I wanted to touch base with your run in the Arkansas Derby. Obviously, bring from the 9-hole wide trip the whole way. Would you consider your third place in the Arkansas Derby more attributed to the outside trip?
No, if you go back and really watch the Arkansas Derby, we were outside of the horse for Robbie Medina, Liberal Arts is his name. And going around the first turn, we were a little bit out of position just because we broke from the 9-hole. And then as we were about the middle of the first turn, that horse bolted really bad. And he knocked us sideways. He knocked into Mystic Dan, and he slammed me actually pretty hard as well. And then when that happened, we dropped back like 12 from, we went from 6 lengths off the lead to like 12 lengths back.
Yeah.
And that just, that compromised Mystic Dan from that point. Cause then after that, we were just kind of, we had to let him get his feet back under him. And then from the half mile pull home, we were playing catch up in a position that we weren't quite ready for. So from there, we were just proud of him to get up for third just because of what happened around the first turn.
Yeah, he seems to gain a lot of momentum on the turns. It's just classic, you know, within himself moving on the turn. So just didn't know if obviously now that we know what really kind of caused the setback there, because it just was a little off on that day. So, and you and Kenny been teaming up for forever.
The dynamic duo. Yeah,
I mean, it just seems
Batman and Robin.
You always see one or the other together, obviously, right? So obviously, you and Kenny, about a decade now with you guys teaming up.
It's been like 8 years, 8-9 years.
Yeah,
it's been a while. I know when I first started riding for him, I was like, well, this will be a great deal for till we get fired. But then it's gotten better and better.
Just keeps working out.
Yeah, no, and that's the nice thing about working for Kenny. You know, he gets along really well with my agent, Frank Bernice. And then there's no pressure riding for him. You know, he entrusts me to ride a good race. And then I go out there and I try to give him the best effort we can. And you know what? I do screw up every once in a while. And then when we do, I'll be the first one to come back. And I'm like, you know what, Kenny, that was not a good trip. I could have done a lot better than that. I'm sorry. And he's accepted that, and it's been a good run.
Well, maybe that ownership on your mounts, obviously, you know, says a little something. Don't make excuses on the horse.
Your
own stuff. And Kenny seems the same way.
Now that you mentioned it too, Frank Bernice, your agent, a Twitter follow of ours, he said, make sure you ask about Frank Bernice, one of the best in the game. So he's got some fans on Twitter too, just so you know.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. No, he is. Frank's the best. He doesn't call me after the races and say anything. And I never question about where we ride or where we don't ride. We've gotten along really good over the years.
You guys got it. It's obviously working. So, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Tell Frank to go find some other mouths besides Kenny McPeak horses. That's an easy job.
Well, I mean, he's found us a Breeders' Cup Classic winner, an Oaks winner, and Derby winner. I think he's doing okay.
All right, yeah, all right. Well, we'll cut him some slack then. we're gonna probably let you go here. We always end our guests here with a little rapid fire. We just ask you some random questions really quick, just off the top of your head. Give me the answers, and then we'll finish this up for you. All right, what's your favorite dinner?
Probably Malone's.
Ooh. Outside of horse racing, what other sport do you watch?
Baseball.
And what's your favorite team?
Astros.
Oh, Houston. Okay. Interesting.
A little talent there. what TV series are you currently watching?
We just finished The Full Swing.
Do you like it?
Yes, it's great. Yeah, and it's, you know, awesome. What? The Netflix crew that did The Full Swing, and there's going to be a series just like it in October.
For horse racing?
Yeah, for horse racing.
That's awesome.
They followed myself and Kenny McPeak and Gaffleon and all of us.
Wow. Really? That's great.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it'll come out in October.
Something to look forward to.
Hey, there you go. You heard it here first.
drop it in here first. Yeah. There you go.
You're the first guy to hear about it.
That's awesome.
Next one. Have you ever drank a mint julep?
Yes, they're somewhat okay after the second one.
That's the key. Talking to the kid about that last week. He has a hard time getting the first one down.
Yeah, can't do
it. You got to drink two. That's the key. Last but not least, who wins in a foot race between you, Jareth, Ray Lou, Tyler, and Saez?
Definitely not me, because I'm not getting a foot race.
Who do you think would win?
I don't know. You got to go ask those guys.
We have. Everybody thinks they're the fastest.
Yeah, everybody's betting on themselves. Yeah. So.
Well, it won't be me, because I'm not foot racing.
Fair enough.
If we ever do get that race done.
Yeah, I'm considered old now, so I ain't doing
it. I know the feeling.
Well, maybe you could call the race. If we ever get this race together,
you could just call it. Or you could put the odds out.
Yeah, you could be the odds maker.
Yeah. There we go.
Listen, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule here.
Thank you, Brian.
Just want to wish you all the best luck and safe travels.
Safe rides.
Saturday. And, Let's get two in the books.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate you. That was an exciting interview.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, I was excited to talk to him, but I just, you know, having him on and talking about the Derby, you know, and I know I was joking, right? Talking about like, could you sleep after winning? I know for a fact I would not be able to sleep. I'd be so excited. And then, and then thinking about the Derby. Right. And then like just anticipating a huge race after coming off a big win. These jockeys are crazy. These guys have, you know, ice in their veins, I guess is a good way to put it.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
It's their job. Yeah. But, really appreciative for him to find the time and actually, to be able to come on and chat with us for a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely.
That was amazing. Yeah. We're getting into this little thing. We're talking to some jockeys that are finishing, you know, in the top.
Yeah,
last year before the Derby. Now we're getting jockeys that win the Kentucky Derby and the Oaks this year. So, let's keep the talent coming on. I think everybody wants to hear them. They don't want to hear us.
Exactly. And now we're setting our eyes here on the Preakness, you know, coming up on the Preakness weekend here. And, obviously, with the recent news, Muth has obviously spiked a fever, which kind of changes things from a pace perspective, I think, in this race.
Yeah, I think they're going to talk. They're going to find out what the tactics are with Mystic Dan. And I see him fourthly placed for the
Mystic
Preakness.
Mystic Dan?
Mystic Dan, yeah.
Really?
I see him pretty close to the pace again. It's funny because now you got to look where the speed's going to come from. Imagination on the outside. There's a few. Sees the Gray possibly going to the front.
Sees the Gray, yeah.
Yeah, but we're going to get into the handicapping in a few minutes here. But we're going to bring on another handicapper.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that... does really, really well at Keeneland. I think he lives like 5 minutes from Keeneland.
That's gotta be nice.
Yeah.
I live like 8 hours from I think Keeneland. So
it's a little shorter drive for him, but handicapper, big Canucks fan. I'm sure you probably saw him if you follow on X.
Gambling savant.
Keeneland wizard, I would say.
Keeneland wizard, nice.
Just dominating. You'll see him at on X if you follow him. Start following him at @stillwill_86. Coming to the podcast here. Still Will, welcome to the podcast, buddy.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Hey, you're among elite company. I mean, you're following up Brian Hernandez Jr. here. So, I mean, you got some shoes to fill here, so we better hit this pick five.
Right.
Right? It was incredible news. I saw that. I was like, man, Man, I need to like literally get the notebook. Like, gotta
get things on paper here. That was a fantastic episode with him, an interview. He's just,
yeah,
just, he's just a laid back guy too. Just was fantastic. But,
and I saw that price tag, dude, $217K. Cha-ching.
Yeah.
We
Cash Money Records, baby.
So if nobody's not following you, they should start following you, because when the Keeneland meets hit, I mean, you're pretty lights out. You've been doing really, really good. The daily doubles is where that's the most impressive part, because you're picking winners in two races back to back and doing quite well. So you don't live too far away from Keeneland, right?
I'm right down the street, like maybe 8-10 minutes away. So yeah, it's just a short jaunt.
Damn. Yeah, that's nice.
That's a dream.
Yeah, I got to get up.
It's almost too nice. It's almost too scary.
Yeah, we were just talking before we pulled you on here. We got to get up at probably 3 o'clock in the morning to drive out there and potentially make like the third race at Keeneland.
Yeah, if we really speed.
Yeah, and no stops. Yeah, no stops.
No stops.
So, yeah, that's how far we are away.
I'm like lazily getting my book together, barely making it for race one. Like, you know, like, goodness gracious. Yeah, dude, God. You guys, and speaking of that, can't wait for you guys to get down there eventually, too. It's just absolutely, this time of year is just amazing.
Yeah, I that's one of my spots to go to. Definitely on my checklist here is Keeneland, either spring meet or fall meet. I think
I'd love for the
meet.
Fall.
I think spring meet is, I mean, I did well at spring meet. I think if me and Will connect at spring meet, we need a briefcase like the Syndicate brings. Because we'd probably do quite well. fall meet's always good, though, too.
Yeah, I like the fall, I think, a little bit better. I like it because then it goes right into Churchill, too, right? Like, Churchill's right around that time, too. So right, it's just like, Breeders' Cup. It's like, gets me ready for, and maybe that's why just Breeders' Cup is right around the corner then, too.
Hey, have you ever gone to the Breeders' Cup when it was at Keeneland?
So, yes. So, briefly, I went one day during Breeders' Cup. And it was the same day. I wasn't around when it happened, but it was the same day. Like, of course, the Barstool guys like Big Cat and Dave were there, and they had extended out the seating to where it was like out in the front area. Usually it's really open right there at the front of Keeneland, and they had extended it out because they had to have seating. Like, they built seating all the way around for extra VIP. And so Dave and them had a box like right in front of everybody. Like, you couldn't miss them. Apparently, like, Big Cat lost like $5,000 in one of the machines.
He left his tech.
Yeah, he left his voucher in the machine. Somebody turned it in.
I was there that day.
Fucking damn.
And just incredible day. And it's such a small, for that type of event, it was just absolutely crazy, because, you know, it's people on top of people already there on a regular day.
Yeah.
So you bring in, you know, those type of big races, those G races, those G1 races like that. And it's crazy. It can, the people and the burgoo and the, you know, the chicken fingers and the cigars. I mean, it's just,
what's your take on the burgoo?
I am not a fan. My wife likes it. Obviously, I know, you know, the boys, Big Cat and them, like it. I saw Jerry putting it behind his ears. but no, it's not really my thing. But I mean, anything else there are, and I'll give you a hint. If you ever go there, top floor, there's these nachos that are like, they're like to die for. These girls like wait in line for like hours at a time, and it's different than the nachos on the bottom floor, you know, from what I've heard. But there's all kinds of little secrets there, dude. Like little rooms, like these green rooms that you just kind of can't get into. And of course, any kind of bourbon you want is there. They have a nice bourbon bar. So I try to highlight that. That's kind of like the little thing. That's kind of how Will DePoe started. Like my wife was like, you should just like highlight. You're like, you like this place so much. Like, highlight this little area right here.
First off, top floor is always better than the bottom floor. Oh, yeah. I don't care what you're talking about.
It's all, I agree.
Well, most people don't know you can go there. Like, most people are like, oh, I can't go. You know, it's like, you have access. Like, just walk up there, you know?
Second of all, I'm not missing races for no nachos. I barely eat when I'm at the track anyways.
Yeah, it's usually a liquid diet. Yeah,
it's all liquid diet at the track.
Yeah, I feel it. I feel it. Hey, listen, some people, that's their bag. You know, the pro tip there.
But yeah, tricks of the trade.
On the drink side, though, Keeneland Breeze. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's like a ginger ale, bitters, and Maker's Mark mix. I don't know the exact mix. I don't have the cup. I actually have a cup that tells you what it is. But it's ginger ale, bourbon type thing, and it is amazing. Put a little orange on top. It's $12, but come okay. on. I mean, when you're clearing bets like you guys do, it's like nothing.
Yeah, it's a little, not even a dent, you know, that's a, you know,
small, it's a mere bag of shells. Whatever. Sounds like 8 parts of bourbon, a half part ginger, maybe. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes.
That's my pour. That's why I don't, that's why I don't make those drinks. Well, really, really excited to have you on. We're gonna take down this pick five. I really feel it on Saturday.
Excited, dude. You know, like Pimlico is a track that I'm just new to. So I've played it a couple days, the last few days, and I kind of like it. It's a nice little track.
I do like it too. Like, I like it when, like, not the top jockeys aren't, you know, when the top jockeys aren't there, you know, and you get your normal Pimlico guys there, that's when the getting's good.
When I lose all the money. I lose all the money.
I also like Laurel, you know, I bet those little, the off tracks, you know.
Yeah, you're an East Coaster. Yeah. You would think you were born on the East Coast.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Just conceived.
What are your thoughts on the Preakness this year? Obviously, before we get into handicap, and obviously with the news of Muth, the scratch, obviously, what do you think? I mean, what are you seeing here?
I really wasn't on Muth.
Me either.
You know, obviously, I know Baffert is Baffert. But I have been kind of on Catching Freedom and Mystic Dan are kind of the two that I'm leaning on.
Damn, spoiler just alert. In that
direction. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert there. But yeah, I mean, I really like this field. You know, other than any of those guys, Muth was a shocker. Like, I really obviously it was a shock to everybody, but I don't know, just in that way and how everything came down. And mm-hmm. I mean, like, it just was a really weird way to roll it out. So it really opened it up for everybody, but obviously all the money's going to go to Kenny and Brian now. So
yeah, I think
should.
I think, yeah. And I think, yeah, obviously we're going to get a very, very short price on Muth, and we'll talk about it obviously here coming up. But yeah, I think it's going to even out the money a little bit more. You know, I think there's going to be people taking 100%. A little bit more risk, you know, so we might see a little bit of a, obviously it's going to be inflated already, but I think we might see a little bit of a payday in that race, but we'll get there.
I never feel like the Preakness is ever going to pay anything because it almost seems to, first off, the fields are usually shorter. Yeah. Right, obviously in the Derby, and then mm-hmm. you always get these. You get somebody who wins. Thank God that they are coming to the Preakness with Mystic Dan because it takes out kind of the Triple Crown feeling and the possibilities out.
Race means more when
it just gets deflated.
You know, yeah,
and you got eight mm-hmm. horses running that, you know, six of them are, you know, horses that really you wouldn't probably normally bet in the Derby, but there's some more excitement. It's a decent field. It's going to be interesting. Track conditions, which we're going to talk about, is going to be another big play in what we're looking at. So, yeah, we'll get to it. Looking at the weather, speaking of that, rain all day, 80% chance. Looks to be about, according to the last weather report, about 3/4 of an inch pouring the entire day total. So we just got done talking to Brian. He said that it's holding a little more water, basically than normal. But it's going to be an off track. So I don't know. Yeah. We're doing this pick five. This is the other thing, right? So we're doing this pick five, and 3 of the 5 races are scheduled on turf. So I don't know how, you know, I was looking at it. Obviously, I looked earlier in the week. The closer we got to a podcast day, I'm like, all right, it's definitely going to be off. I don't know which races on the turf are going to get pulled. I doubt they're going to pull the feature race on the turf for the day. Yeah, that's the dinner party, the Grade 3. That's the one I think they're going to keep on. They usually will keep the Grade 3s on. The other two are like non-graded stakes races. So you may see those two other turf races come off. But we're going to handicap it. I'm going to handicap it the way if it stays on turf.
Yeah, I think that's the only way to do it.
That's the only way to do it. And when it comes ticket day on Saturday,
we might pivot.
Yeah, we'll pivot and look at the ticket, yeah. I guess.
Just look for the ticket, obviously, on the Twitter sphere or the X sphere.
right.
You know, that's what we'll be playing. But obviously, right now, I think we just have to act as if and just handicap the way we handicap.
Yeah, because the weathermen don't know shit.
Yeah, next thing you know, it's actually raining all day on Sunday, and Saturday is a beautiful day, 75, sunny, you know.
Well, it is a Maryland. So. Let's go ahead.
They said the same thing about the Derby too.
And yeah,
you guys saw what happened. It was supposed to rain all day Saturday for the Derby.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
You know, keep our fingers crossed.
Weather's weather, man. Nothing I can do about it. We just we pivot and we change. and we'll adjust. So look for the ticket on Saturday. But let's handicap the way we think it's going to be, staying on the surfaces as planned. We're going to go do the late pick five. That's races 9 through 13, ending with the big boy, the Preakness. Starting at race 9, it's a mile on the turf. It's the $100,000 James W. Murphy Stakes, purse of $100,000 for three-year-olds. As always, we're going to start with the guest. Give us your top pick, any underneath plays that you think you might like, starting with you, Will.
I'm going to go with Massive here. Of course, like we talked about, you know, I'm a Keeneland kid. This guy, I just saw him come out at Keeneland and just barely rallied at the end and missed on this play. So I want to see him kind of step up here. I mean, he's eligible to improve here. I mean, he's right there. He had a really good workout last week. So I'm going 3 here. And then kind of underneath, I like the 2 and the 1. Obviously, Copper Tax and then Lucky Jeremy.
Okay.
So if I'm doing anything here, I'm probably going to go Keybox the 3 with the 2-1.
Yeah, the 3 is going to be tough. Yeah, first off, I think Sheldon had two wins that I know about today. And I almost want to say they were both for Brittany, but don't quote me on that. 3 is going to definitely be tough. I'm actually going to shift all the way to the outside. If this stays on the grass, I'm going to go with the 10. I'm going to take a shot here with where I think should be a horse that's getting a little class relief from the grade 2. That's a Brumar. That's Irad, obviously, and Safi. Get a little class relief and actually cutting back in distance. It's one of my biggest angles that I usually like to go for. I like shortening up and I like dropping in class, usually getting the tags. As one $200,000 stakes races, two back here on the Colonel Liam that was at Gulfstream Park back on March 2nd. Workouts are pretty good. Actually, I like the April 26th one, but nothing since the May 4th run where he came in a distant 10 lengths back in the grade 2 American Turf. So if it stays on the grass, I'm going to take the 10 on top. There's no doubt I'm not going to have the 3 underneath. I do like the 3. I think the 3 is going to be impressive. Has a lot of talent. First time out for the year was actually not bad, an $110,000 allowance at a mile and a 16th. So another with a little bit of cutback, but I actually think the distance would be better, and that was with Saez, and now you're getting Sheldon back on. Sheldon just obviously knows the horse a little better, should get a better mount in this case than Saez, due to knowing the horse a little better. And then I'm going to also throw the 7 on there in my underneath play. I think this one has a chance for a tag. That's Crystal Quest, Javier Castellano for Michael Trombetta. Just the closing aspect, which I think is key for some of these turf races. And this is a horse that has a lot of late kick, but it really is not even that far off the pace. Sits more of a stalking pace the whole time. Broke his maiden in a nice fashion in a mile. That was at Gulfstream Park on January 28th. And, I mean, 3 wins for 3 times for this year. I think the son out of Uncle Mo has a good opportunity to go ahead and possibly even win this race, but maybe needs a little more distance. We'll see. But I'm going to go 10 on top with the 3 and the 7.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing very similar stuff here. I actually had the 7 as my top pick. I like Javi on the Michael Trombetta horse here, Crystal Quest. Coming off of 3 straight, I thought it was impressive. One thing I saw here in this race is that this horse does the same thing every single time, right? Sits stalking, maybe a little bit further back than it needs to, but it can be tactical, right? And it can be a little bit further back if the race doesn't obviously break out the way they want. I think that this horse can be coming late. I like the late kick that this horse has and has shown in the last 3 races. You know, again, winning those last 3 races, coming into this race, taking a little bit of time off, the 55 days, maybe a little bit concerning. But again, I think there's making sure that this horse is freshened up and ready for this race day. So not as much of an issue, but working out very well coming into the race. So I have the 7 on top. I like everything I'm seeing there. I think you're going to get a decent price. And then underneath, I mean, kind of the usual suspects, I think, if you looked at the form. I like the 5 underneath, Jamie Rodriguez and Jamie Ness. This is a combination that you'll see out in Laurel. You'll see it, obviously, at Pimlico a lot. They team up for quite a lot of business. This can be your speed horse. This horse is going to try to go out there and wheel, maybe grasping on the 2nd or 3rd late with these oncoming horses. So I've got that one underneath. I've got the 9 underneath as well. Joel Rosario, Echo Lane. Wait,
you're taking Joel?
No, underneath.
Oh,
yeah, not on top. For the same reasons as I have the 7, right? I mean, I think this horse will be closing. I like the 7 a little bit more from what I've seen. But Joel's also going to be coming late. You know, I like to time those runs, you know, right at the end. So, again, working out very well. Has shown some flashes here in the last 2 races, but hitting the board at a consistent clip. And then I have the 10 all the way to the outside. I think the 10 would be crazy to leave off the ticket. It's Irad. Obviously, this horse is also going to be speed. It's going to try to go out to the front. Irad's going to get aggressive, potentially in a speed duel with the 5.
Yeah.
So I think just underneath, like I said, I like a closing angle here in this race. So that's where I'm going.
Gotcha. I will tell you this. I have four different horses if it goes off the turf. And that's where actually, well, it's funny you said you like the one and the two. I actually like them both if they're off the, well, obviously the two is the main track only entry. So only if they do go off. If they go off the turf, then the two definitely is a big player for me. And so is the one Lucky Jeremy. I think they're both contenders if it's a sloppy track in the mud.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Let's go ahead
and get Mike Maker. I mean, come on. There's in my mind, it's Maury Maker and Mott in my mind in those types of situations. So I'm taking Maker in that situation.
I like that. Let's go to the 10th race. 10th race, a mile and the 16th. It is the $100,000 non-stakes race for Sir Martin Stakes. $100,000 purse for three-year-olds. Will, we get to... Good to start with you again.
Well, I kind of spoiled this one on my Twitter the other night as kind of a fun way to entice people to kind of check me out. But I really like the six here, Gould's Gold, coming out of that Kenny McPeak Derby barn with Brian on as you know jockeying up here. Last time he won was with Brian, so I feel really good about the six. I think he's going to be sneaky good here. I also like the nine here. Coming in, Daily Grind is not great numbers, but is improving its last time out. So I'm going to take it. It's going to take another chance to improve here. So I'm taking a chance on Daily Grind. and then, of course, I like the favorite. I think will be the favorite is going to be eight, the Tuscan Sky, the Todd Pletcher horse here. And that's kind of my way here. I don't really know. I probably will double this race into the next one. But if I have to do a single here, I probably will just do an exact a 6-9-8 here.
Yeah, I like the angle when you're talking doubles, because that's kind of more your forte, right? You do a lot of doubles here. You can find value at a price and then tag it along with maybe a chalk in the second race. That's where you can actually make some money, and I think that's a smart move. If you like the six and the nine, I mean, play the double on there. I think is a great 100%. Option.
Yeah, and that's what it would be: 6, 8, 9, and probably 12. Obviously, we'll get to the next one for 12 too. But I mean, that would be my double. I mean, if you were taking it right now. So, but I mean, 6, 6, 9, 8 exact a box is where I want to go here. Obviously, I really want to lean on that Derby barn.
I like it. I like that. If you're going to go for it, go for it. I actually like the 10. I actually like the 10 in this race out of Gunrunner, Imperial Gun. This is an interesting horse. You know, broke its maiden at $115,000 at Oaklawn Park. Big problem for me is that it hasn't shipped out of Oaklawn yet, so we're not going to know how it really travels. All of its workouts that are published are still at Oaklawn. The Arkansas Derby, not a great performance here at 65-1, but what'd you really expect with Muth and Just Deal and Mystic Dan? I think they just gave it a shot and just didn't work out. Prior to that, though, the $100,000 optional claiming race that he was in really ran really well at a mile and the 16th. I thought that was a pretty solid race. As he has on favorite, got beaten. And then after the Arkansas Derby, comes back here in a non-graded stakes race, $200,000 at a mile and an eighth, and just missed at the wire here, second by a head. So I see Imperial Gun with the workouts, with how the horse is trending. Speed figures have been pretty solid, 85, 85, 88. I just think this horse is on the improve. And if it's going to be an off track, I mean, I'll take a Gun Runner on an off track. I think that's probably one of the most reliable bloodlines as far as an off track is concerned. Gun Runners have been running pretty strong. So I'm going to take the 10 on top. I got three underneath. I actually like the eight. You mentioned that already there, Will. I think Tustin Sky is going to be tough. Non-Lasix race kind of scares me. It would have been my top pick had the Wood Memorial been a non-Lasix race and was a poor performance. However, maybe it just was not the race because it did get steadied at one point. I didn't think it was that big of a steady on the turn coming in. Just kind of checked briefly. Did have some momentum coming in, so I don't know. I don't know how to rate that, if that was just a check, bad race that I could discard, or if it was the non-Lasix that actually maybe didn't really perform well off the medication. So the eight's a question mark, actually, for me. The three is another one I want to put in there. I like Circle. This horse has been running non-graded stakes races here, has off-track capability here, two back, so I think that's going to be a big play. And I think the five has a good chance, too. Corporate Power. Javi Castellano, I love him on the off-tracks as well. This horse moving up in class, but last time out on a sloppy track, 148 at a mile and an eighth. That was at Aqueduct, and the workouts have been pretty strong, 49s and 49 solid, 49 and 4. I mean, you pretty much get what you get when it comes to the workouts, but having an all-time, you know, 93 speed figure, three times out, just had its career best speed figure, and we're adding on blinkers. So I think there's a lot of things going here for the 5-2 to possibly hit the board. So that's kind of where I'm going to lie at. We'll see if the 10 can actually go ahead and dominate as expected. Maybe the 8 falters, but 10 with the 8-3-5.
In this race, I think I'm going to go and try to fade the 8.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
I just think, yeah, from the Lasix perspective, I mean, it was a grade 2, and then getting off the Lasix didn't perform well. Yeah, maybe steadied a little bit, but they are adding the blinkers, maybe just trying to get this horse a little bit more focused. But this is a field where I just want to take maybe a little bit of a swing. I like the seven. I think Mighty Message with Tyler Gaffney.
You were going to say Massage.
I was, yeah. This horse, I mean, last time out ran a very similar race, right? I mean, it's an open company race, 100K. Christian Torres had the mount. This horse was pushed at the beginning, right? Had to set some pretty quick fractions, was able to hold on and maintain the lead and win the race. So I like what I'm seeing there. I kind of, even though it came in second on the all-weather track, right? And it kind of scratched that race a little bit for me. Different surface. I'm gonna kind of throw that up to just, it still performed well, but just not what I wanted to see. But then if you take a look back, right, at Delta Downs, very similar fashion there, right? Goes to the lead, and just kind of kicks away a little bit there. So I like what I'm seeing in the last three races out of the seven. It's Tyler, it's Tom Amos. Tom Amos is not my favorite trainer when it comes to graded stakes races, but when it comes to these, you know, just stakes races in general, ungraded stakes races, I'm actually a pretty big fan. I think he's got this horse in pretty good form. So I'm going to take a swing there. I'm very much aligned with you on the six. Brian Hernandez, Kenny McPeak, for everything you said there. Hot Barn, last time out with Brian Hernandez aboard, they got the job done. So obviously, Brian knows how to rate this horse and knows where he needs to put it. Obviously, coming off of a huge weekend, I think definitely some momentum coming into this race as well as the later races. And then I also have the nine. Dwayne Lucas and Jamie Torres, they team up quite a bit. They've got a winning formula. It's just putting it on paper and actually getting the job done, right? So they're still waiting for that big, big swing for the win column. But this could be a spot where they do it. I think it's a little bit of a price there. But again, you know, underneath, I'd love to have this horse come in the second. I mean, even win. I mean, if you have it as a top pick here, I think you're going to get paid, and it's definitely capable. So,
well, let me ask you this: you're both on the nine. Right. Both you both like the nine. You both mentioned it, right? Nine times out, still a maiden, running against already proven winners.
Yep.
No concern there.
No, I mean,
just because the horse has been consistent. I mean,
very consistent. I mean, it's just missing I wouldn't say just missing last time out, but that race beforehand with Nick Juarez.
Yeah.
I think if you see something like that, you see that kind of rate and that kind of race, maybe you get, you know, right there. Gotcha. Winning, maybe not, but I like it underneath for sure.
It's got to be a nice price.
Yeah.
He's played some good, but he's had some good competition here. I mean, he had his second race out, raced against Fierceness. So, I mean, like, I mean, you got to think, I'm leaning on the same thing. I'm leaning on that it's going to improve and that, you know, as you get older, maybe some people take three or four races. Some of us take four or five, you know, like, so, you know, that's where I'm going to, kind of the same thing.
Takes me way longer.
and they went a mile and a quarter last time, you know, last time out. So I think coming back down to that mile and the 16th where they had a little bit of a better trip, I guess. I mean, in terms of finishing, right? They only finished the length off. I think maybe too much distance last time out, but I think they feel a little bit more confident with
targeting more of the distance.
Yeah.
Get it out there. Let it go for the mile and a half. Now cut it back. I got you.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to the 11th race. 11th race is a 5 furlong scheduled on the turf. $100,000 Jim McKay turf sprint. Stakes for $100,000 for 3-year-olds and upwards. Will, give me the winner.
So I don't think it's any surprise here where we're going here. We're going with Beer Can Man, the 12. Again, a horse that I saw in person just kind of get bumped at the end of his race. I think this horse can do really well. Again, is a horse that I think has run against a lot of really good competition. You look at his little thing there, it's G2, G1, G2, G3, G3, 100K. I mean, he's had a lot of different jockeys and a lot of different races. So, look, we're taking a shot here with Beer Can Man with the 12. And again, this is going to depend on weather as well. But, you know, I think the motto's got a good horse here in Beer Can Man. And mostly, I mean, I'm leaning a lot on the name as well. if I'm being honest, as well as, of course, seeing this. I saw this horse in the Woodford in October of last year as well. So I've seen this horse a couple times and came in third back in October of that race. And I really think that this is a guy that can really step up and can maybe shock the world here. I mean, that's what we're all about. So I'm also underneath here. I like the two.
Keratory.
Keratory.
Yeah.
I was trying not to butcher it there. Thank you.
That's right.
Brian Lynch horse here. Again, it's a horse I think is going to do really well in this situation. Another shocker here. Not an expensive horse. I think Lynch and Saez could really have something here. I think Saez knows how to put these speed guys in the pocket, and I think this could be a really good situation for him underneath. Obviously, I'm on the four here as well. Midday Image, 40K horse from Keeneland out of 2023. A little bit of expensive guy here in this race. So I think obviously those guys usually expect a little bit more. So he's, you know, won his last race out. So, and then started out, won his first three out. So kind of had a little bit of a dip there, but even in his races he didn't win, he was coming in second place. So I really think this is a guy that, that Jacobson's going to have ready here with the four, and we're probably going to get a price here for that guy.
I, you know, the four is interesting, and I have it actually listed. I have it in my, if it goes off track, I think Midday Image even improves off track, which sounds ridiculous because all you see there are turf races when you're looking at the form, but he's got 38 races, 28 of them are on turf. He's got six that are off races, which are on the dirt. And he's still four times in the money out of six. So I think this is an actual horse that you're not really seeing the capabilities of an off track on dirt when you're looking at the form. And I think he has performed well in some of the non-graded stakes races. So I actually do like the four. Right. And I think that's a great option. Although I have that, though, for me, on my tickets, if I actually if it was going off the turf, I'm actually going with the one. Probably sounds ridiculous, but I'm going Groom's All Business. This is the first time out going to see the 2024 debut. Two nice workouts here recently, four furlongs and 52, another four furlongs and 52 on the turf. Just conditioning wise, the horse came into at the end of last year, got down in August, so has been on the shelf for quite some time. It's been a little bit for, you know, Jorge Duarte to bring this horse back. But even back then where it was running at these five furlong sprint races, five and a half and six furlongs, it's usually right there. You're getting Jorge Ruiz. I think you're going to get a nice price. And it's first time gelding. So I think that's a big boost in the opportunity for a horse I already like. I think you should see an improve on the speed figure, which kind of bodes well. So I'm going to take a chance with the one. It's a really tough race, but I'm also going to add the eight in here. I think if I go underneath, Boats are rocking. Jaime Rodriguez, probably going to have a day, according to everybody here talking about Rodriguez on all of his mounts. But if it's on the turf, this is probably one of the tougher horses for me, just consistency. Again, making another debut here, four furlongs, 47 and four on May 9th. It was a great workout coming in. So I think this horse is ready and primed and conditioned, ready to go. I think the 10, the 12 on the outside are a couple other options if it stays on the turf, which it should. I would expect it to. Charging, Irad Ortiz, Tom Morley. Another one that's just consistently stays closer to the pace, likes the off, can be off pace and then run it down. I do like the four furlong working 47 and four on May 9th as well. And then I'm not going to leave Beer Can Man off. This is just much the class. If you go back to any non-graded stakes race from August 23rd, everything you said, Will, this is the horse that fits the bill. Just really been up against it in the last couple in the Breeders' Cup Turf and the Shakertown. Just kind of just never really got to run its race. But if we're talking, you know, strategic here, you know, on LASIKs better, off LASIKs not so good. You'd have to go all the way back to like February 2022 in the grade three at Santa Anita to get a third place finish. And then prior to that, which was it's the grade two Hernandez second place, second time out. So I think there's some questions with Bear Can Man. I'd love to see Bear Can Man actually win this race. I think it would be fantastic. And I do like the workout for a minute at five furlongs. I think they need to run the distance five furlongs in that workout to establish. But if it's staying on the turf, I'm just going to go and handicap that way. 1-8, 10-12.
This is a tough one. This is there's a lot of talent in this race, and I'm really trying to figure out if we're going to see a speed duel at the top, you know, and closing angle, which is kind of the way I handicapped this race. And I actually landed on the 11, which is witty. It's Tyler Gaffney.
We are pretty spread out on
you. Yeah, this is it seems like a spread leg. If you're getting crazy, just from, you know, listening to you guys, we're kind of all.
It's
a turf arm. Yeah, right. 100%. Because it's just, there's so many different ways it could go. And it also depends on the way the turf is, you know, running. But, you know, from what I've seen, and I was looking at those five furlong races for this 11 horse, if he runs those races the way he did the two times that he's run them, I feel like he's going to be the fastest horse. He's got the best times. And he's always closing, right? It's a very consistent thing, right? You always see him coming late. You always see him making that late charge, even at five and a half, right? So even stretching out a little bit more, but you always see him coming late and making a strong move and finishing with pace. And I mean, in the last five races, he's four for his last five. So I think there's something to be said there. Yeah, it hasn't won any of these big races, right? It's not running in the grade ones or grade twos, but you're seeing this horse in these stakes races and these stakes companies doing pretty well and getting the job done. So I like the 11 here. I think it's going to be a decent price. I'm on the four as well underneath. I think for everything you said, Will, I mean, there's something to it. I mean, Angel Cruz and David Jacobson, right? They're teaming up here. And obviously last time out, they found the winning formula, right? They said, this is what we need to do. They're going to sit stalking again. Same tactic. We're going to try to do it again. I think coming up late, I don't know if it's got the late kick to win it, but again, I think underneath sitting behind the first place finisher, I think is right where I'll have this horse. Would have liked to see, right, a bigger race under his belt, just like the 11, but again, sitting in the right spot and the right trip. If they work out the right trip here, I don't see why I can't pick up the pieces and hit the board. And then the other one I have here is going to be 8, which is pretty much, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be chalk. It looks like a really, really solid horse. You know, Jamie Rodriguez in this spot with this horse, again, is going to be stalking. It's gotten the job done. It's sitting at pretty solid speed figures going into the race. Looks good. Workouts are solid. Has gone the distance. Distance is not an issue, right? Can race on the East Coast. Like all these different things I'm looking at, definitely tells me it should be right there. I don't know if they have enough to win it, but I feel like he's going to be a little bit of a shorter price come race day. But yeah, I've got that horse underneath as well.
I think he'll get a good price. 6-month layoff, a lot of people have question marks, so you're probably still going to get a decent price when it comes to Boat Rockin'. But I mean, that's it's stranger things have happened come race day where horses off 6-8 months layoffs has turned out to be second choice.
Right.
So we'll see on race day. But
best case scenario for me here is that we see the fastest fractions we've seen all weekend on the turf here,
right?
Which I think we might get because there's a lot of speed horses in here, you know. But
I mean, if they're on the turf, it's going to be a good turf, though. I doubt it's going to be firm.
Right.
I think it's obviously East Coast is going to get it probably holds a lot more moisture in there and it gets a lot softer, a lot faster. But again, this is why I don't play Pimlico because of the variances of the surfaces. So, but we're going to see come race day.
I do like Beer Can Man, though. I might throw Beer Can Man underneath.
He's class. He's all class.
It's like that one.
It's his number, dude. Not for long. It's his number, man.
Right.
It's his number.
It's very true. And like look at his
speed for the five, just the fives alone. I mean, every single one of them is good.
Yeah, his speed figures alone are enough to bode, to care. Probably got to be the more in line.
He's going to be more in line.
Even if he tossed out the last race for first in 2024 as a 6-year-old, I mean, it's not the most impressive first race as a 6-year-old in a 6-year-old campaign at 83. But I mean, it's one in the books. He hasn't raced in 6 months. So they came out and kind of breezed him in that race. And it probably up for a big race this race.
Yeah.
You know, I filled the amount, I'll put some in good spots.
It reminds me of that race that we handicapped months ago, but we were talking about a horse that's ridden in. It was basically a very like deja vu style race, right? Where it's like this horse is ridden in the grade ones, grade twos. Yeah. Came off Breeders' Cup, didn't do shit. In this field, we saw some speed horses, some horses that coming in really well. And then, you know, that's basically Beer Can Man in this one. So I might have to throw that one in there in some fit.
It's identical. Yeah.
Yeah. Just from class alone, he might just, you know, outmatch this entire field.
But fucking deja vu all over again. Yeah, I think you'd be crazy to leave Beer Can Man off your ticket if you're looking at in any form of the verticals in that race. Let's go to the 12th race. 12th race, the mile and an eighth. This one's scheduled on the turf. Grade 3 dinner party. This is the one I think that actually is going to stay on the turf if they do pull the other two off. This one should stay on the turf. Purse of $500,000, half a mil for 3-year-olds and upwards. Will's got your top winner. What do you got, Will?
Give me the B. Give me the B. The running game. Chad Brown horse here. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, that's boom. Tyler, Chad. But we're going to, you know, I saw this horse again. This is another one I saw at Keeneland. Again, did not get a great trip. I think this was a bad rain. I think this was a weather day. Every day I look on April the 6th, I need to go back and look at my book this day. And or my videos for this day and see, because, and I should have done that today, but I just ran out of time. But because it seems like everybody got a bad trip on this day, but I'm going to give Running Bee the look here. Just from everything I can see from Chad Brown and these type of races, I think him and Tyler can make some noise here. And I kind of trust him here. So I'm going 5 to win and then underneath. So again, I'll probably do exactly here. Oh, and then to go back, if we can go back just slightly, on the last one, I meant to do that double. So we would have done race 10. So that would have been 6-9, and then race 11, 12-2-4.
Gotcha.
So it'd be five. So I'll put it out there. But I wanted to make sure to get that out there. I didn't mean to jump the gun.
That's good.
But yeah. And then my underneath here was 4. Obviously, we talked about it earlier. Mike Maker, I love him in these type of races with Saez. Coming off a Turfway race. where he didn't do so good. So I'm expecting, you know, a good, he had a high speed figure at this distance the last time out. So I'm expecting some improvement there. And again, I lean on the guys that I know. Mike Maker's a guy that I know and has made me, quote unquote, make me money for the money maker. And then my underneath, there would probably be the 9 Beatbox. Just again, yeah. Another one of those Joel Rosario horses here, rides here. And love the name there. That's cool as hell. I'm a beat guy myself. And, you know, Rosario seems to do really well with this horse. I'm taking kind of a chance here. He hasn't raced since March. So this will be, you know, I mean, you're talking, this is a long layoff here, but a good trainer. So, you know, I want to kind of see kind of what we do here and kind of a pricey guy. You know, he was, you know, I think we're going to get a price on this guy for sure. So, yeah, if I'm doing anything here, it's 5-4-12 exacta box here for this for the dinner potty.
I like that. It's funny because everyone's seeing kind of the same things, but we're all seeing them different ways. So this is really going to be a very nice spread out, I think, ticket when it comes to this pick five. I mean, Kid and I usually sync on one race. We haven't synced up yet. So it just shows how Pimlico is for me, and I suck at Pimlico. So yeah, you probably just disregard my picks altogether. I actually like the 10. So I'm going to the outside in this race. I mean, as I'm handicapping this and I'm trying to look at the mile and the eighth and I'm trying to figure out, this one probably should stay on the turf. So I'm going to try to like stick with what I think I know, which ain't much, but Emmanuel with Irad Ortiz and Todd Pletcher, the combination speaks for itself. It's a non Lasix race. Obviously the horse is running a lot of grade threes and grade ones off Lasix. It's been pretty, not really bad in its last 6 or 7 races. And if we're looking at the Maker's Mark, back in April 12th, you know, that was one that had the lead. The fractions were pretty slow and still wasn't able to hold on. So that's a little bit of a concern here, but, I like the class drop for Emmanuel. And I think the workout here on May 11th actually kind of helps me out a little bit. If this is more conditioned and get back into the form when it did its 2024 debut back at Gulfstream Park in a grade 3. So I'm going to take the 10 on top. We'll roll with Irad. I think you can go with a lot worse as far as looking for a jockey to take and a horse to go with. I like the 12 also to the outside underneath. This one would be fantastic again. This is John Velasquez, Wesley Ward. Last two races, 98 speed figure, 91 speed figure, the Kentucky Cup Classic. That one was on a synthetic. I know we're going over to turf, but the horses run good on turf as well. Matter of fact, the last time it was on turf was with Johnny V. He did have Lasix, but the horse runs great off Lasix as well. More worried about the surface area if he's going to take to the turf as well, if it's a soft turf versus a firm turf or a good turf. But the workouts have been great as well. I think I really like the May 10th, 5 furlongs in a minute. That's probably the one for me. That's a bullet workout, best of 16. That's the one that gives me the top pick of my underneath. So I'm going to put the 12 underneath, probably in the second spot. The one has a good shot too. Highland Chief, Motion, and Jorge Ruiz teaming up here. I like the cutback in distance coming off the Elkhorn. That was a 5th place finish, 7 1/4 lengths back. But we're dropping from the mile and a half. We're going to a mile and an eighth. And that's where I think Highland Chief's going to be a little more competitive. Should get a decent price. Been a big price the last two times. Probably going to follow up with that one. It's a decent price, 2 underneath. That should be a nice play. And I think the 9 is questionable here for me, too. Beatbox is, I feel the same way you do, Will. The speed figure is there, 96, 89, 95. Very competitive ever since the change of Rosario. Right? He's never been worse than 4th. He's never been farther back than 4 lengths in any of his races he's been on. Soft turf in the grade 3 at the fairgrounds on February 17th. If that's what we're going to get on Saturday, maybe I upgrade the 9 here actually to one of my top higher top picks. Has ran okay off Lasix, but that's the other question. So keeps it underneath for me.
It was him or Ward. I got hung up on him and I, you know, I have been beaten before, obviously, many times. England is the praying ground and Churchill are obviously the, you know, the Ward running the playground.
Right.
But I'm going to take a chance there, too. I have 12 underneath, like way, you know, if I have to actually play something, I like the 12 here. But I did 5-4-9 instead. But, yeah, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I'm trying to take a play here on where I see the value, and I'm going to go 10-12 with the 1-9, actually. Where are you at, kid?
I am also on the 10. If I was singling a horse,
the first fucking time we synced today. All right.
If I was singling a horse, I think this is the horse I would probably single. That's how confident I feel. I was looking at it, I was analyzing the races this horse has run in. There is a pattern that this, if you look at the form, this horse runs in a grade 1, right? Last time out, lost, wasn't its best showing. Goes to race before as a grade 3, won the grade 3. They tried the 4-star Dave before that, didn't. didn't do well in the grade one, goes back to a grade three prior to that, wins that race. The dinner party last time they ran this race, right, obviously didn't get the job done, almost did, right, almost was right there. But then obviously the Maker's Mark prior to that, finished seventh, then goes back to a grade three before that, first, goes back to a grade three before that, first. Like, grade threes are exactly where this horse needs to be. If I ever saw a horse that needs to be in a grade three field, this is the horse. Fitting that pattern, obviously, I think this is this horse is obviously capable. It's Irad, it's Todd Pletcher. I like everything I'm seeing there. I think, again, grade one was not the move, but coming back to a grade three in this field, I think should be able to get the job done here. So I'm very high on the 10 here in this race.
Just need some speed to run down, and there's some capability for speed up front early.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm very, like I said, very high on the 10. I have the five running B also underneath. I think, like you said, Will, I mean, it's Chad Brown's Tyler. They've been connecting at a high clip over these last couple months. We're seeing there, the horse is in great form, working out well, coming in with its best speed figure into the race. So I think I like to see that coming in there. I'm also taking a shot with Crabs and Beer, the six, obviously a little Maryland play here. Obviously we all know what Maryland does. And that's definitely this horse here. Javi getting the mount again. I think this horse just needs a good trip. And you're getting nothing against Kevin Gomez, but you're getting an upgrade in jockey. They got the job done last time, right? Obviously in a softer field, but you're going to get a Hall of Famer aboard.
Yeah.
Did a similar clip, similar ride. You might see this horse scratch second or third underneath. So I like it for a price play underneath.
I wouldn't be mad at that. It's another nice price play. And it was a pretty good debut, I guess, even though it was a, obviously restricted race, but still a good first time out for 2024. Again, that's a nice little spread race. I mean, we're kind of covering all of the board.
Yeah, like I said, I'm probably single on the 10, but spread race for you guys, I'm single on that
10. The 10, it just can't be a 49 half. It's a 49 half. 10's not going to have.
It's a grade three. This horse runs grade threes.
Got to be
some speed to run
down. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, it's got to be some speed to run down. I hope the 10 does prevail. Let's go ahead and wrap up this pick five. It is the race 13, mile and 3/16, the Preakness, grade one, purse of $2 million for 3-year-olds. This is your big boy, Will. Who do you got in the Preakness?
The big boy. I mean, we're going to catch some freedom. We're going with the three, Catching Freedom, Brad Cox. First time I ever really won big at on any horse track was a Brad Cox horse. So I always kind of lean to his a lot in certain situations, but I really like this horse. He's beaten barely, as you can see here, barely got beaten his last race out. Came out and won the L.A. Derby, just drove past in that. This guy's getting overlooked, and I know obviously Vic jumped ahead and put him out today. That's his pick as well, so it's nice to know that he's on them as well. But with Muth out, it changed everything. I tell you, I initially was on a wanted Mystic Dan in the race, so of course he is underneath here. He's my second horse underneath here. I think he got an amazing trip, like you said, but I just think there's something special here. We haven't had a chance, and I think this is a good chance for him to step out there and give us a good shot at a Triple Crown. And I just, he's a Kenny McPeak, one of the good guys, as it's being said around. And we keep the good guys rolling. Let's do it. Finally, the nine. Obviously, I can't help it. I have to be on this horse. I think he's going to set the pace, and he could take off. So it's just going to be a matter of, again, track conditions. This is going to be a track conditions play because, again, we know this horse can do it. We know this jockey's great. We know everything makes sense. But the weather and like, you bring it full circle, this is going to be a track play with these guys. So 5-3-9 is my big boy. There's just Steel. I don't want to leave out just Steel just because of the pedigree.
Yeah.
And just because of Rosario and Lucas, and like I said, all you can run down, we could talk about it all day long. And I thought, with his running at the Arkansas Derby with Muth, I think, he would have given Muth another run for his money here. So I think this is going to be a fun race, guys. I mean, I'm excited. Again, I really, really hope the rain holds off. I hope we get a true shot at this race because I love, as you guys know, with Keeneland, they're smaller fields. So smaller field races are kind of my bag. And, I really, really like that kind of style. And I think the Preakness is going to bring some good TV.
Should be a good race.
Yeah.
It shaped up a lot better than most Preaknesses have in the past.
Last year was pretty exciting.
Between
Blazing Sevens and National Treasure.
Yeah,
absolutely. That was a fun race to watch. So I'm hoping for another heartbeater again.
I'd like to see that. I'm going to go ahead.
Ray Lewis is going to be in the house. Let's go.
I'm going to go ahead and just play the easy path there. I'm going to take Mystic Dan on top. There's no reason for me not to. I think this field is a less competitive field. I think the scratch of Muth actually changes the perspective on speed. The nine may go to the front. Never been on an off track. I think it's going to be an off track and maybe does run away with it. And if that's the case, Bob Baffert spoils a Preakness and another Triple Crown hope for a horse. But I think Mystic Dan is going to be fourly placed, going to have the opportunity to be able to get over and save ground again and go ahead and win this race. The only competitive natures that I see that have a shot, I'm with you on Catching Freedom. I think the three is going to be really tough. I actually liked him in the Kentucky Derby. I think got a rougher trip, more difficult than Mystic Dan did, but I see both of them trying to do the same thing again, and it should be a nice battle between the three and the five in this race. Now, as far as the third choice here that I have to put on there, I'm going to put Just Steel. I think Tactics in the Kentucky Derby change perspectives. I think if they play it the way they need to, the way they wanted to when it came to Derby versus getting out in the lead, still going to be fourly placed and just sitting off. I think there's some speed out there with Seize the Gray that's going to falter late. And I think they're going to get past. So I'm going to go 5-3-7 as far as my top three. So I think the 5-3, I'm sinking here with you and Doc and with you, Will, on the top two. I think the 7, though, has a great opportunity. And it's also going to be price play for me, too. I mean, if it's really, really chalky, we're either going big on the try or we're going to look for value elsewhere. Could we yet?
Yeah. So when I was handicapping this race, I was kind of trying to figure out what I was going to wear on Saturday. And I was, I think I was leaning towards, you know, a blue suit, nice yellow, bright yellow tie, maybe some sunglasses. I might dye my hair white.
Okay.
Because I am very high on this 9. I think Imagination is going to upset a lot of people. I think that this horse is going to go to the lead. I don't see a lot of speed now with Muth out of this race. Maybe Seize the Gray goes out like we talked beforehand. Maybe this horse goes out there and tries to press, but I don't see it. Frankie Dettori teaming up with Bob Baffert. This horse should be, in my opinion, I mean, the races that this horse is losing are not by much. It could be very well be undefeated coming in this race with a much shorter price. So 6-1 morning line, an Imagination. Price. Yeah. Great price for a Bob Baffert horse. And you know he wants to win this race more than anything, you know? So right. Yeah, I'm all over this 9. Hopefully I can get all those things for my outfit on Saturday. And I don't look like a fool, and get chastised for it. But so I have the 9 on top. I think I'd be crazy to leave off Mystic Dan right underneath. I think Mystic Dan is going to be coming late, but I think it's just going to be too much to make up down the stretch. I've got Just Steel as well. That was my top pick in the Derby. I think, again, from the tactic change, I think sitting off a little bit more, picking up the pieces late. And then I'm also going to have the 8 underneath Tuscan Gold. So I'm going to have 3 horses underneath. I'm obviously singling on top. Tyler's going to be coming late here. This is another horse that he's already said is very impressive, very solid. We talked to him when he came on the podcast. But yeah, I think he's also going to try to come in second here in this race. So I'm going to go all the way to the outside, 9 with the 5, 7, and 8 underneath with all on the try.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's your pick 5.
That's it.
I think that's a $18,000 pick 5 cost from all the picks that we have.
Well, 9,000 if you single the 10.
That's true.
You know, the 9,000. Yeah, we can get
if we can single out that 10. Yeah.
What do you guys think about Uncle Heavy here? What do you guys think about the 2 here?
I don't know. All my uncles are pretty thin and lightweight, and they're pretty healthy. So I think he had a bad trip. I don't know. I really don't know. It's kind of the in between. I think just outmatched in this race, especially when we're talking about like pace setup. You know,
he almost snuck on my board here, just barely. Just because, I mean, 3 out of 5, he's won.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I have to respect that a little bit.
Yeah, I think if you break it down, look at who he's beaten, and again, I think off tracks is what's really going to play out. Like,
100%.
If you have a run on an off track, then what's a breeding suggest on off track? I think that's what gives a little bit of advantage to a few of the ones that met my top three. But that's it. Listen, this is why it's the Preakness. I think the hype is all going to be obviously about Mystic Dan. That's just going to be the play here. I think that's all they're going to really be talking about, and just going to ride it. I really want to see a Triple Crown going into Saratoga week.
Yes.
That would be sick.
That would be, I think it should be fantastic for horse racing for two reasons, right? Because with Belmont under construction, moving to Saratoga for the race this year, which is an oddity that never happens until, you know, late summer to be at Saratoga. That really would be an amazing opportunity. It's good for sports. It's good for the sport itself to have a triple crown opportunity. So yeah, my heart's in it and I'm talking to Brian. Shit, I'm already hooked. I'm done.
So speaking of that, man, I thought the Derby presented well, man. And I think the numbers, I think, showed that.
Yeah.
As far as gambling numbers, TV numbers.
Oh, yeah. Handle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really, really big. And I think it was like, what, 420 million or something like that? Record.
Yeah.
It was Churchill down.
It was great. I mean,
They got a bunch of mine.
So. Right. Yeah, same.
I think overall, you know, the production, it was a great day overall of racing, right? We had, you know, a great safe day of riding, a lot of competitive races, you know, and yeah, for a Kentucky Derby in the last couple of years, this one seemed like it was the most hyped up too.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're
the last two have things. Been pretty wide open,
yeah.
In my opinion. There's been no really true front runner. I think Fierceness was the closest you were getting to this year, and everybody still had doubts.
Yeah.
So, and it came to fruition.
And it certainly lived up to the hype.
Correct. Yeah.
It's gracious.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. 17 hole, man. Nobody's won out of the 17 hole.
Technically 16.
Yeah.
Number 17.
That's my favorite angle in the Derby, and I will always I don't care who it is.
I can't wait till the horse you love going into the Derby is 17 and see where your thoughts
are. It's going to break my heart, but yeah. I'm going to have to go against.
That's crazy. That's fucking crazy. Will, thanks for coming on the podcast this week.
Yes, thank you.
Absolute pleasure to have you on. Really appreciate the insights, and I'm really looking forward to Saturday's picks.
Absolutely. Same to you guys. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it. Still Will.
The man.
Yeah. Interesting. It's going to be an interesting Saturday worth of picks. I don't even think we got enough room on the ticket for all the numbers that we have to post.
Yeah.
For everybody's picks.
Yeah. There's going to have to be some lines drawn in the sand here on this ticket.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to see some scratches. Like I said, we'll get an adjusted ticket out on Saturday once we see. If they're staying on the turf off the turf for what they're doing.
Usually I'm good for a couple of picks in there that have scratches. I feel like I'm pretty good at, you know, figuring out the scratches before it happens. So
picking the scratches before.
maybe my ticket will be smaller than I anticipate on Saturday. But yeah,
could very well go down to like $6. Well, we'll see come Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully a good day of racing. Hopefully get some decent prices, cash some tickets, you know.
That's the plan.
Yeah, I think we have a good weekend coming up.
We do. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Obviously, Preakness Week. We want to thank our good friend there now, Brian Hernandez, coming on.
Of course.
Still Will taking out his time to come on and handicap the Late Pick 5 at Pimlico. Just keep following us. We have another episode next week. We got the gap between the Belmont Stakes and the Preakness. Hopefully have a few more guests. Great episode, kid. Have yourself a good evening.
You as well.
To all our listeners, thanks for listening. See ya!